this month we are beginning a new series. Actually, every September we cover this series called The Church. What it is, what it is not, what we're supposed to be doing, what we're not supposed to be doing. Redefining, or I should say revisiting, the definition of what God had intended when Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So, if you wouldn't mind turning in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, our message this morning is titled, "Church Means Jesus." Simply, Jesus. That's our message. Church means Jesus. Simply, Jesus. If when church comes to mind, if Jesus does not immediately follow, if Jesus is not synonymous with church, we've missed the meaning. Church means Jesus. Exclamation point. Simply Jesus. Exclamation point. And I'd like you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 so we can look at our text together. 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 14, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God to profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God." Amen. Church means Jesus. Simply Jesus. We are a fragrance of Christ. To those who are saved, to one another, as well as to a hungry, ignorant, dying world. We are the fragrance of Christ. When God sniffs the earth and He sniffs you, whether you just worked out or not, what He smells is Christ. On your worst day, when God sniffs you, you do not smell like sin. You are the fragrance of Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. If you're taking notes this morning, the main idea that I want you to take away from this morning's message is this: God's plan for the church, God's plan for the church is promoting Christ Himself. God's plan for the church is promoting Christ Himself. What is God up to in the church? What does God want to do through the church? What was in His mind when He thought up church? God's plan for the church is promoting Christ Himself. Now, I want to pull out just a couple of phrases from our passage to develop our text, our title, and our theme for this month. This is an overview of the church. But the first phrase that I want to pull out of the passage that we just read, it says, "Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession." That word, triumphal procession. What this is referring to is in the ancient world, when generals would go out and conquer, there would be a triumphal procession that would follow a victory, and they would bring the captives and the treasures from the country that they had warred with, and they would proceed and have a processional, a grand processional into the city before the emperor, before the all the people. It was a great celebration. Look at what has happened. Look at what we have done. We have conquered. It was a jubilant time. It was a time of victory. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession. God is always leading us through a victory parade. You and I are constantly moving forward through this life in a triumphal procession, a victory parade that is orchestrated by God himself. But here's the difference. It is not a procession of captives. It is a processional of those who have been freed from captivity. It is a celebration of those whom the Lord himself has freed from the enemy's clutches. And with jubilation, we have joined the throng of those who have gone before us in celebration of our great Lord and Savior who leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. It's a processional of converts, and it continues to march through time, picking up participants day by day. See, this is a growing procession. It didn't end in the New Testament. One day, the processional stopped at Dan Beatty's house. And they called out, "Come join us!" And by the grace of God, I heard the call and I joined the triumphal procession. One day, it came to your place. And they called out your name. The Lord called out your name. Come join us. And by grace, you join the triumphal procession. There are people who are around us right now who haven't heard the call. I call them pre-Christians. I prefer the term pre-Christian to non-Christian. Because we don't know what God has in store for them. Amen. There are people who are walking this earth today who would have never believed that Frenchie Beatty would be a believer. Amen. They would have never believed that Frenchie would have joined the great processional of those who have been liberated and celebrating Jesus Christ. I was a pre-Christian one day by grace. And in fact, this month, on September 27th, it will be the 37th year of my having heard the call and joined that triumphal procession. 37 years. Who would have thunk it? Triumphal procession. It says, always he's leading us. Always. On your worst day. On your worst day, circumstantial. On your worst day, in terms of how you are presenting yourself to other people or to yourself. On your worst day. On your most sinful, backwards day. On the day when you can't, as Sister Flamina would say, on those days I can't stand myself. And we know what those days are like. On your worst day, you can jump up and throw your hands and say, I am a part of a victory celebration. And this processional is leading me into eternity covered by the grace of the living God. And when he looks at me on my worst day, what he sees is Christ. What he smells is Jesus Christ. Because I am a fragrance of Christ. Always. Thank you, Lord, for always. Because always means always. It does not say who sometimes leads us. Always. Always. And it says it's a procession in Christ. Very important. The banner under which we march, the banner that leads this processional, has one name on it. Jesus Christ. When God looks down and sees this collection of people marching forward, the banner that he sees is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Simply Jesus Christ. It's not a banner of politics. You hear what I'm saying? It's not a banner of politics. It is not a banner of religion. It is not a banner of social issues. It is not a banner of morality. Do better. We are the do better people. It is not a banner that says stop sinning. It is not a banner that says go to church and clean up your act. It is not a banner that says you better read your Bible. It is not a banner that says when was the last time you prayed. It is a banner that says, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. Amen. We are a fragrance of Christ. I want to replay for you an event. While I was off, I wrote about this, and some of you saw it. Some of you did not, but I just want to replay it for you. Why do we need to make sure it is the banner of Christ? I happen to have a brief exchange with an atheist who is a friend of a friend. And she characterized being a Christian as believing in a mystical being in the sky. And following is an excerpt from our interaction. And I'm going to call her Rachel, though that's not her real name. So I wrote, Rachel, if I may offer one comment of clarification, the essence of Christianity is not about a mystical being in the sky, but about a real historical person who walked on earth, Jesus Christ. With all due respect, I have found people who claim to be atheists rarely deal with the most important issue of Christianity, and that is Christ himself. The bottom line of Christianity revolves around one essential question, and only one. Who was this historical Jesus? Who was he? Was he who he claimed to be, or was he a liar or an imposter? I can certainly accept and respect anyone's choice to be an atheist. I would just like them to have the proper understanding and respect for what it means to be a Christian. And she wrote back, Dan, Jesus may have been real, but many of the stories surrounding him are not. The acts committed in his name are often atrocious. I was raised Catholic. That's enough for anyone to become an atheist, as I like to say. Because of that upbringing, my understanding of being a Christian is misogynism, condoning sexual abuse, telling me what I can do with my body, and making ridiculous sacrifices and decisions based on fiction. That's my opinion based on my own experience with it. I wrote back, Rachel, I'm so sorry for your negative experience of religion. I can't relate. It took a miracle for me to get past my issues with church and to discover Christ Himself. Peace to you. Rachel's story is a prime example of why it is always important to keep the focus of the gospel on Christ Himself and not on the rules of Christianity or all the shoulds and stops. There are many people who can talk to people about morality. There are many people who can talk to people about value. But the only people on this earth who can talk to somebody else about Jesus Christ are Christians. People who have been touched and changed by Him. That is our message. That is our job. That is what we promote. Let other people promote the other stuff. It's nothing wrong with taking a stand on issues. But don't make our stand the issue. Because that is not the issue. Because we can clean up a person's life and they can be immaculate, morally speaking, and still be lost. Still be outside of that triumphal procession that has one name and one name leading it only. Jesus. It's not the good people banner. It's not the I quit banner. Of people who stop doing bad things. It's not the okay, you convinced me banner. It is the Jesus Christ banner. Now, Rachel couldn't see the banner because so many other of the marchers were holding up competing signs. Some of them holding them over Jesus. There's a Jesus banner. They got their other sign. They're holding it over the Jesus sign. Now, that's not an excuse for Rachel. Because Psalm 14 tells us, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's not a head thing. It's a heart thing. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The heart were prepared and ready to receive, she would be able to see above the noise and see Jesus. But that's a subject that we'll cover later on in the month. For today, we're talking about the purpose of the church. And our purpose is to promote Jesus Himself. Rachel didn't know what the parade is all about. What's the main idea? God's plan for the church is promoting Christ Himself. Jesus. Simply Jesus. Church means Jesus. Simply Jesus. I want you to imagine this for a moment. This is what Rachel didn't get. I want you to imagine for a moment while taking a leisurely walk in the park one day, you encounter a man. And he's walking from the opposite direction. He engages you in a conversation that's unlike any conversation you've ever had. You are spellbound because his words touch you more deeply than anything you have ever experienced in your life. Deeper than the first I love you from your first sweetheart. Deeper than your strongest opinions about love or religion or politics or philosophy. Deeper than your greatest desires. And he's not just talking in abstractions. He's talking to you, heart to heart. He rocks your world. So much that you have to ask, who are you? Then he reveals to you that he is Jesus Christ. But he doesn't look like any Jesus you've ever imagined. Because he isn't dressed in Jesus clothes like you've seen in the movies. And he doesn't look like the paintings that you've seen. And he doesn't speak in King James English with these and thous. He's nothing like the Jesus that you would have expected. He's real. He's personal. He's unforgettable. Like the first bite of an amazing meal, everything about him makes you say, yes and more. Now imagine that you leave this encounter brimming with wonder and excitement. You tell your crazy best friend all about it. The buddy who's been with you from thick and thin and loves you to death and knows all your stuff. You tell your crazy buddy about this encounter, and your friend says, oh, don't tell me you've gone and gotten religious on me. And you're stunned. Because that's not what happened. You didn't get religious. You met Jesus. You didn't get religious. You met Jesus. That is what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has met Jesus, not someone who decided to get religious. This is what happened to Jesus' disciples. I've said before, they were not religious men. They met Jesus. And he was so astonishing that they couldn't take their eyes off of it. And they had to follow him. Peter said, where else would we go? What's coming out of you ain't coming from no place else. I've never heard what you're saying. I've never tasted what you're serving. I've never sipped the drink that you are. You are something else. Who are you? Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him? What manner of man is this? Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Don't worry, Peter. I got you. I know who you are. I know what you're like. And from now on, you're going to be catching men and even. I can see the Lord looking Peter straight in the eyes and piercing his soul. That someone knows me just as I am. And I know he knows me. And he says, don't you be afraid. I got you. I know how you think. I know how you tick. Who could separate themselves from that kind of knowledge, from that potent personality? You didn't get religious. They met Jesus. I did not get religious on September 27th of 1978. I met Jesus. He met me. And that was the difference, because you see, I had been religious. And I know the difference. I had been dutiful. But oh Lord, he turned it into devotion. I had been obligated. Felt like I had to. And he turned it into want to. Got to. Need to. Can't help myself to. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is the living Christ. Like Rachel, a lot of people see us in the parade, but they don't know what happened. They just see us marching. They don't know what happened. But we are here to promote the living Christ. What best helps us to do that? How do we get to that? How do we become that? Let me say, I'm not talking about how do we do it per se. How do we become promoters of Jesus Christ? Versus realizing we ought to promote Jesus Christ. Feeling guilty because we don't promote Jesus Christ. How do we get past that to being promoters of Jesus? in the very fiber of our being, where that is what oozes out of us, where we can't shut it down. You hear me? You feeling me? Where we can't turn it, we can't twist the knob tight enough. It keeps on leaking. What best helps us to promote Christ? Very simple. It's our own experience of Him. Nothing's better. Nothing can take the place. All the preaching in the world, all the shaming and all the guilt, all of the shoulds and oughts will never be equal to what the Lord Himself can bring out of us through our association and our connection with Him. It's not duty that inspires us, it's our relationship with Him. So many testimonies in the scripture of people promoting Jesus because of their relationship with the Christ. The woman at the well, the blind man, the man from whom the whole legions of demons came out. You read their stories and you don't see any ought or shoulds. You see, I can't help myself. It is coming out of me, whether you want to hear it or not. I may not be educated, said the blind man, but he said, this is what I know. I was blind, but now I see. I don't have a whole lot of philosophy and theology. I don't know the law. Can't quote it to you. But I'm standing here before you guys, and I ain't scared. And the reason I'm not scared is because He touched my eyes, and now I see. Jesus healed the man who had been inhabited by so many demons. He simply said, go back home and tell them what the Lord has done for you. The Lord is blessing you right now. See, and when we get in touch with the Lord is blessing me right now, it comes out. It comes out. That's why I continue to promote Jesus to us, as well as to pre-Christians. I continue to promote Jesus as much to you, believers, as I do to non-Christians or pre-Christians, mainly because I care about pre-Christians. But the greatest need is not to preach to them. The greatest need is for us to get in touch with what we've been given. See, if all of us are inspired, oh, they're going to hear. They will hear. Someone wisely said, when you think about evangelism, when you think about outreach, outreach is not a passion for souls. It is a passion for God. And that passion for God spills out to lost souls. That's why I continue to promote Jesus to all of us who already know Him. He's not only the banner to the world, He's the banner to us. Just as we need to point people to Jesus, we need to continue to look to Him ourselves. Because we need Him every day just as much as anyone else on this planet. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus. I need my relationship with my Savior, my Lord, my friend. I need it. I need Him. Every hour. Every hour I need Him. Just as much as anybody else. That's why those of you who follow me on Facebook, and besides needing Him, it's more than that. Not that I'm just broken down and I can't make it. There are times when I'm broken down and I can't make it. But even on my best day, when I'm climbing the heights, when everything is agreeable and all of my emotions are favorable and in sync, When life is working well, I need. And I desire him even more. I desire him. That's why on Facebook, most of you who follow, you can attest that 95% of what I post is about what it means for me to know Christ. 95% of what I post is not how you need to come to Christ. It's who is Christ to me? I'm always promoting Christ, not because I have to, but because I can't help myself. I wrote in my journal, I'm supposed to be on vacation. And yes, I've set some time aside for my regular duties, but I can't disengage from pursuing and promoting my best friend, Jesus. That's because he's not my work. He's not my work. I'm a pastor, but Jesus is not my work. He's a pleasure. He's a privilege. He's an indulgence. He's a delight. Do you know him like that? He wants to take us there. He wants to take us there, every one of us. Deeper. I know. I know how much of him I have. But I know there's a whole lot more of him to get. And I want it. I'm greedy for him. Thing I'd like people to get, I wrote, that many rarely understand is I'm not a religious person. I'm not a ritualist. I'm not a rule keeper. The other day I said, I had to find God because there's no other human, no other object, no other career on this earth that could absorb the intensity of the passion that I have for life. See, I want it all. But see, I don't want the all that the world says is the all. You can't fool me with that. The all that I want is in him. Because he is the true source of eternal riches. As our dear sister Elizabeth Barrett Browning once wrote, earth is crammed with heaven, and every bush is aflame with God. But only those who seek take off their shoes. I want to see, Lord, you aflame every bush on earth. So I'd like people to know I'm not a ritualist or a rule keeper. Truthfully, and those who know me best can attest to this, I'm more of a rebel. The heart of my spirituality is like a normal romance. I'm intrigued, fascinated, enamored, infatuated, and charmed. It's just that the object of my attraction is the risen and very much alive Jesus Christ. Prayer. To pray is not prayer, it's conversation. Church is not church, it's a day. The Bible's not a rule book, it's a collection of love letters and promises. The Holy Spirit is not a mystical, impersonal force, but he's an inner companion who coaches, inspires, and consoles me. The whole world is a classroom, and every event and activity is a lesson. It doesn't matter whether it's a football game, a secular song, a Twilight Zone episode, a movie, or a delicious banana pudding, a drive in the country, or a workout at the gym. The Lord meets me there and often uses those very things to reveal some truth about himself, or about human nature, or about life in general. And that's why I continue to promote Christ. He is all that and more. This is what I seek to convey in everything I write, in every sermon, in every post. I want others, Christians and pre-Christians alike, to be enticed by the unsearchable riches that exist in knowing Christ personally. We march under the banner of Christ. We seek to draw people into the triumphal procession of those who have met Christ personally, whose lives have been transformed by the living Christ. We want them to join us and join in the chorus of blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste that we're experiencing here as we march through earth, march through this life. Oh, what a foretaste, but only a foretaste of glory divine, because the best is yet to come. This is my story. This is your story. Jesus is mine. This is our song, praising our Savior all the day long. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who always leads us on our best day, on our worst day, in triumphal procession under the banner of Jesus Christ. Amen.